Good morning. Mi nomen is Lauren Elias van Rijnland en ik wil jullie hier alle welkom nan en ik wil jullie bedanken voor komen de Gottes woord hier en ik wil mijn beste doen van de proeven op dit jullie wat ver te brengen. Ik wil jullie reizen met de Wied in Galatians 1. Zegt, mocht je nood en vrede van God, den Vora en den Herrn Jesus Christus met jullie zijn. Hij starf voor onze zinden, jood zou als God de Vora dat je plant had, ons door derg uit deze bijze welt uit te raden. Am traft alle eer derg alle eeuwigheid. Amen. De aandacht wat ik van jou ha gepland ver te brengen, is van de een gelijkenis of een parable wat Jezus vertalen deed van een rijke man wat op een reis voeren deed. En hij heeft zijn deine arbeid te doen voor den tijd wat hij weich is, en wanneer hij terugkomt, wil hij zijn wat God ze gedaan heeft met dat wat hij entgeeft heeft. En deze geschicht heeft veel voor ons in deze tijd waar we nu leven. En dat is zeer wichtig voor ons te leren dat we hebben arbeid hier op deze wereld, maar ons God terugkomt. En hij wordt ook komen en zijn wat we gedaan hebben met dat wat hij ons gegeven heeft. Maar voor we met de aandacht aanvangen, willen we beten. Ons himmlische Vader, we danken die voor deze schijndag. We danken u voor deze mensen wat hier zijn gekomen en te horen. En we vragen voor jullie kracht en de wijsheid wat je ons hand verspreken, wanneer we vreun doen. En we vreun dat je ons wilden van jou zenen en leiden. En wat we no volgen. In Jezus nomen. Amen. Nu wil we een paar leider gaan.
Morgen lohnt der Ewigkeit, und wir saßen in 7 Tagen dich. Sixth hundred and eighty-seven.
heißt es Gott vor Glanz und Ehren, Nummer 259. Number 259.
Voll Glanz und Ehren, O sein, wenn man in den Nuss, O Gnaden reißt der Herr den Herren, in körper Mensch voll ihr zu füßen. Entzünden meine kalte Seile,
Dankeschön für Ihren Singen. Wir wollen die Geschichte aus Lukas Kapitel 19 lesen von der Osmorius und fangen mit Farsch auf an. Lukas Kapitel 19, Farsch auf. Und während seine det horchten, vertalt heid an Furz noch ein Gleichnis. Weil sei dicht bei Jerusalem wir, und sei dachten, dort das Gottesreck furz kommen wird. Er sehte an, ein Mann von kännlicher Herkunft reist nur ein Land weit auf, um ein Kännlichreck für sich zu kriegen und dann zurück zu kommen. Und er raubt sich Tieren deiner und jäuf an eine Summe Geld und seht, sie sollen dort mit Geschäften drehen, bat er kommen wird. Seine Bürger aber können am nicht lieden und schickten am Norecht und leiten am Sein, wie wollen nicht, dort dieser Ewe uns regieren soll. Und als er seinen Rick getrehen hat und zurückkam, verlangt er seine Diener für sich zu kommen, da er dort Geld gejäft hat, um auszufangen, was ein jeder durch sein Handeln gewonnen hat. Dann kam die erste Affäre und seht, Herr, dein Geld hat 10-mal so viel gewonnen. Und er sagte ihm, hast Gott getan, guter Knecht? Willst du Eva dort kleine Best trüge warst, sollst du Eva 10 Städter zu ihr beiden haben. Dann kam die zweite und sagte, Herr, dein Geld hat 5-mal so viel gewonnen. Er sagte ihm, Gerot so, und du sollst Eva 5 Städter sein. Und ein anderer kam und sagte, Herr, hier ist dein Geld. Ich hielt dort am Schnäppeldück und lehe dort weich. Ich fürcht mich für dich, willst du ein hoher Mann bist. Du nimmst, was du nicht angeleicht hast, und ernst, wo du nicht gesät hast. Und er sagte ihm, ich recht dich, du beiser Knecht, mit deiner eine Wied. Willst du dort ich ein hoher Mann sie und dort nehmen, was ich nicht angeleicht habe? Und du ernt, wo ich nicht gesät hab? Worum lädst du mein Geld dann nicht an die Bank, dort ich dort mit Interesse können angeklagt haben, als ich käme? En hij zei te die door omstunden, neemt am dat geld weg en geeft dem dat die tien haft. Zij ober zeiden te am haar, die haft al tien. Hij ober zeiden te an, ek zei junt, wer door haft, dem wordt gegeeft worden. En wer door nicht haft, van dem wordt dort genomen worden, wat hij haft. Ober mine fiend, die nicht haben wollen, dat ek eva an regieren soll, bringt die her en merkt die fer mi dout. So hier in dieser Geschichte von diesem Odelmann, ich habe sein, dass er fort auf eine Reise, aber er sagt seine Diener, er jeft seine Diener alle, was Geld und jeft die Arbeit zu tun. Er sagt, dass sie sollen Geschäften treiben, was er zurückkommt. Aber zum der Geschäften rieven, haft er an das Geld gejeft, dass sie nicht mit Lade hängen, Brücken, was anzufangen. In dieser Geschichte jeif Jesus seine Jünger, dass sie würden weiten, was da kommen deid, und was sie sollen tun in den Zwischentiet, wenn er nicht mehr hier auf dieser Erde wird. Aber wie kann es sein in dieser Geschichte, dass nicht all die Diener horchen deiden, was des Rekamon und gesagt hat? Die wollen nicht horchen. Und wie kann sein von dieser Geschichte, ans himmlische Vater, er hat hier auch einen Plan für uns. Und er schickt seinen Sohn Jesus. Und er kam hier und lebt auf dieser Welt mit mank die Menschen. Aber nu ist er nicht hier. Er muss verloten. Aber wir sind nu an den Zwischentiet, was er wird wahrer zurückkommen. Und er hat versprochen, zurückzukommen, und er wird zurückkommen. Kriegt so, als das Odelmann zurückkommt, so als er sieht, er wird uns Jesus kommt auch wieder zurück. Und wir wollen hier durch diese Geschichte gehen und was Dinge da proben, rüberzunehmen für uns, was wir durch von dieser Geschichte lernen. In Vers 11 redet von, dass er dicht bei Jerusalem wir. Und seine Jünger, die dachten, dass dit wir die Zeit, wo Jesus wird nu sein Königsrecht nehmen. Er wird nu die kann ich sein über die ganze Welt. Und seine Jünger, die verstehen, dass das wird kommen, aber das wird nicht die Zeit dafür. Jesus kommt wieder zurück und er wird sein Königsrecht kriegen und er wird hier, das kann ich sein über die ganze Welt. Aber die Zeit kommt noch. Die Zeit wird nicht dann, als Jesus das erste Mal hier auf dieser Welt wird. Aber dort wird passieren, wenn er hier für das zweite Mal auf dieser Welt steht. Aber wie sollen die Jesus seine Jünger nicht Schuld geben, dass sie dachten, dass wir dann kurz kommen? Wie sollen in dieser Zeit nun auch reit sein, dass er irgendein Wort kommen und dass er irgendein Wort alles erreicht merken in der Welt? In Lukas Kapitel 12, Vers 40, sagt er, ihr sollen auch reit sein, wie es die Menschen sehen, kämmt in einer Zeit, wann ihr nicht mehr rechnen. So wie sollen reit sein, wie sollen checken, wie es, wenn Jesus was versprecht hat, da kämmt immer kriegt so, was er dort gesagt hat. Nicht immer in der Zeit, wo wir denken, dass das Wort passieren, aber das Wort passieren und das Wort passieren kriegt so, was geschrieben ist. Und dann in Vers 12 sagt er dort, wo das Odelmann er wird verloten zum Sieg. Eine tschernigliche Herkunft, oder er wird verloten zum tschernigreck für Sieg zu kriegen. Jesus ist auch verloten zum sein tschernigreck kriegen. Von seinen Vater. Und Jesus hat seine Jünger mehrmals gesagt, dass er wird verloren, dass er wird sterben. Aber sie verstehen das nicht. Die können das bloß nicht sein. Die dachten bloß an einen die ihre Gedanken wären noch doller irdisch oder earthly. Die dachten, dass Jesus wird bloß hier sein Königreich abstellen und er wird die Welt Frieden geben und alles wird wieder gut sein. Aber Jesus hat mehr im Plan. In Vers 13 von Lukas 19. Jeft hei dei alle Geld. En hei sagt, de sollen je Schaften drieven damit. But hei wird zurückkommen. En jeder deiner kriegt ewa reinet Geld. Und dass wir verlangt von ent fruchtbar zu sein damit. Wir sind auch alle was gejäft worden. Das Geld, was diese Diener gejäft worden, ich glaube, dass red von dort Evangelium oder dort the gospel message, the Norecht. And dort the Norecht, they soll verspreit worden in der Welt. So as diese Diener sollen ihr Schaften drieben und dort Geld verdoppeln. Oder Maya. So as dort verlangt von uns, dort wie diese gute Norecht für die Welt bringen. Dort wir würden auch fruchtbar sein in dieser Welt. Gott hat uns nicht bloß Odem gejäft, dort wir das können für uns selbst verbrücken. har haft hans också arbete gegift. Die Bibel vertelt uns in Markus 16, dass wir sollen in der ganzen Welt gehen und diese gute Nachricht bringen zu allen Menschen. Wir sollen nicht bloß viel sein und für uns selbst leben. Wir wissen nicht, wo lang unsere Zeit ist. Aber die Zeit, was wir uns gegeben haben, soll wir für uns Gott brücken und fruchtbar sein damit. Und in der zweiten Part von dieser Andacht, wo wir sein, wo einzige von diesen Menschen dort brückten, was er entgegeben hat. Aber eher wie der zweite Port anfangen, habe Zeit zum Abstellen, ab unsere Knie gehen und für Gott ernst was bringen, was ab uns Hort liegen wird. So für die, was können, wenn wir ab Knie abstellen beten. In Gottes Namen, Amen.
Please take your red books and turn to page number 391. You are on your way to heaven. Can we stand, please? Son is now indulging.
Thank you for that wonderful song that I think fits this message so well. You know, God has entrusted us with our children. And this gospel message, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, is the message that we need to, first of all, bring to our own children and then to the world around us. So we're going to continue on in this message, in the English portion of this message. And we're just going to continue where we left off in verse 14 of Luke chapter 19. And here we can see that it says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" Can we not see that today? How so many people who have heard the good news, but they reject the good news and they reject Jesus Christ. They do not want him to be Lord over their life, and they refuse to follow him. And they're not scared to say that publicly. But this is, and we wonder sometimes, how can they get away with that? But we are in a time of grace. But God is going to deal with those who have rejected his lordship, as we will see later on in this chapter. But during this time of grace, God is pleading with them to turn to him. And he is asking us, his servants, to do our part in trying to bring those people to Jesus. Then in verse 15, we can see that this nobleman returned. He returned from his trip, just as he said that he would. And when he returned, he wanted to know if his servants had been obedient and faithful. When Jesus returns, he will come to take an account. Romans 14, verse 10, I think it's verse 10, it says that every knee shall bow and give an account. Now let's turn there, Romans 10. Sorry, Romans 14. Verse 10 to 12. Says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So that's a sobering reminder for us that what we do here with our time does make a difference in eternity. And so the first servant, he came to his master and he says, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And this was a faithful servant. He had done well with what he had been given. He had gained tenfold of what he had been given. And he was recognized for his faithfulness, and he was given authority over 10 cities. He said, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And in the same way, our faithfulness will not go unrewarded. These rewards are not deserved. It's not something that we deserve because we've done so well. Because even our righteousness, the Bible tells us, is like filthy rags before Christ. Because no matter what we do, it is still stained by sin. But he gives us rewards because of his great grace that he shows to us, because of his great love that he has for us. This is a reflection of how great our God is, not about how good we were here on earth. Because if we would take a close look at ourselves in the mirror, take an honest look at ourselves, we can see that, you know what, even my best efforts are not that good. You know, I've got problems. I deal with pride. I deal with selfishness. I deal with all these things. But it's only by the grace of God that he is going to reward us for obedience to him. It's because our God is so good to us. You know, he is so good. God, you know, that song we sang in Sunday school, God is so good. And that is a song we can sing, you know, and it's, we don't grasp what that means, that God is so good. You know, everything that, every single blessing that we've experienced throughout the day, whether we recognize it or not, comes from God. And even the terrible things and the uncomfortable things and the bad things that happen in our lives, God is also going to take those and he is going to use them for good to them that love God. And so, when we look forward to these rewards, it's not something we can brag about and say, you know what? I did well. But we want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when he says that, we will feel so humble, we will feel so low, because we know that we are not that good and faithful servant apart from the blood of Christ that was shed for us. It is only because he cleansed us and that we are declared righteous before God because of what Jesus did for us. That is the only way that we can actually be a good and faithful servant. And then the second servant says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Another faithful servant. Maybe not the same results, but he was still faithful. And he also was given authority over 5 cities. Our accomplishments will not be all on the same plane or on the same level necessarily. Some of us will do different things than others. And, you know, we don't necessarily understand the scale that God uses to measure things. We tend to measure things in an earthly way. But, you know, God is looking on our heart. And because of that, his rewards will be fair and just. And then the last servant, or another servant, came and he said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. You know, he was afraid. He was afraid, so he took that money and just hid it away until his master was going to return, because he was afraid he was just going to mess things up. He did nothing with the money that he had been entrusted with. He just made sure that he could return it in good condition. It wasn't going to get damaged. It wasn't going to get lost. He just put it aside. That was the best he could do, or the best he thought he could do. You know, are we keeping the gospel wrapped up in a napkin? Are we keeping the good news to ourselves because we might not be able to present it perfectly? We might not get it just right, or we might fall on our face when we try to share it with someone. You know, these servants who were faithful with what God had given them, we have to remember that the increase came from God. You know, those 10 pounds that the first servant had, or the 5 pounds of the second servant, that increase came from God. They were just faithful with the instructions he gave them. And so if we as likewise are faithful with the instructions that we have been given, the increase will come from God, and we don't need to fear that we are going to mess things up. You know, this servant, you know, he said, "You're a hard man. You know, I know that, you know, you get what you want, you accomplish what you want to accomplish, and I didn't think I could live up to that expectation, so I just stepped aside." You know, that's kind of what it sounds like, what happened there. He was more concerned about what his master might have done if he had made a mistake with the money than about what his master would do about his disobedience to the command, "Occupy till I come." You know, he thought, you know, if I lose this money, or if I don't produce anything with this money, he was more concerned that the punishment there would be greater than the punishment for not obeying in the first place when he was told to occupy till I come, or to be profitable, to be fruitful with what he had been given. I read a quote that says that this was kind of like a legal Christian. You know, this quote says, "This man, it seems to me, represents a believer who has not found salvation in Jesus Christ to be as attractive as he had expected. A legal Christian who knows nothing of the grace of the gospel and is acquainted only with its moral requirements. It seems to him that the Lord asks a great deal and gives very little. This feeling leads him to do as little as possible. He thinks that God ought to be content with abstinence from evil doing and with an outward respect to his gospel." You know, don't we do that sometimes where, you know, we think God should just be happy that I'm not doing this sin, I'm not doing that sin, I'm not out partying, I'm not, you know, involved in whatever it might be. I'm just living a clean life, and I'm coming to church on Sunday. You know, that should be good enough for God. You know, I'm so much better than the rest of the world already. But that's not what the Bible is teaching us. You know, do we feel that God asks a great deal of us but gives very little? If that's our attitude, which it is sometimes, but then we need to look at the scriptures and look at the promises that God has given us. And he says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard what, you know, the Father has in store for us." And he promises us that eternity with him will far surpass anything that we could even imagine. And if this is true, which it is, then we should never feel that God is asking too much of us here on earth. It's our own flesh our own selfishness that keeps us from being obedient. And so this nobleman judged this servant who had not been fruitful. And it says he judged him out of the words of his own mouth, because the servant had said, "I know that you are an austere man," or a man who, you know, harvests where you have not planted and all of these things. He says, "I knew those things, so that's why I put the money aside." But if he had really believed his own excuse that his master was really such a hard man, if he really believed that, he would have served him even more diligently than ever before, because he would not have wanted to be on his master's bad side. And so his own words condemned him. And how often don't our own excuses, when we really look at them and examine them, they sound pretty hollow. They don't actually make sense. And so this nobleman said, at the least, you could have put this in the bank and collected interest so that I would have gained something when I returned. You know, when we have been entrusted with many things here on this earth, and in terms of money, I was just thinking when I prepared this message that if we struggle with sharing the gospel with others, at the very least, we should be helping to finance and pay for people who are going out to preach the gospel, to be missionaries, to share the gospel in the rest of the world. At least then we are collecting interest. You know, we are helping the ministry, even if we're not doing it ourselves. And it's not an excuse to say that, well, that's a way out. You know, now there's a loophole. Now I can just give money and I don't need to think about this. No, but it's the bare minimum. It's, why do we want to rob ourselves of the blessings? And so, in verse 24, it said to him, "Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. You know, because he had neglected to use what his master had given him, even that was taken away from him and given to the servant that had been most faithful. And this brought jealousy from the people standing around. They said, "But Lord, he has 10 pounds already." You know, those who are in the flesh will quickly become jealous and protest when those who are faithful receive their reward. But then it says that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. You know, God will multiply the gifts that he has given us, just like he multiplied the money of the first two servants. The same way he will multiply our gifts if we use them. But if we neglect them, they will be lost, and they will be of no good to anyone. And then in verse 27 comes the final reckoning for those who refuse to submit to Jesus Christ. And it said in verse 27, "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." And we can see the same thing in the book of Revelation. When Jesus comes back. And Satan and his followers are gathered to destroy God's people. And God will wipe them out and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that grace period that we see today will be over. And those who reject their Lord and his offer of salvation will be cast away. And so we have a lot to think about in this passage of how we use our time and what our priorities are in this life. And remembering the promise of Jesus' soon return and looking forward to it and preparing for it and using the gifts that he has given us to further his kingdom until he returns. With that, let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your unfailing promises. And we thank you that they will come true just as you say they will. And Lord, we ask for the strength and the courage to be steadfast in serving you until you return. Give us a renewed zeal and desire to do your will, and that we would take courage from seeing those in your word who have been faithful, and how you have always remained true to your word. Lord, help us just to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength as we go from here today. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And with that, we have the opportunity again to kneel for a silent word of prayer. So for anything that is on your hearts, please kneel with me at this moment. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers.
Again, take the red book and turn to page 441, Shall We Gather at the River? Number 441.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crest of night forever flowing by the throne of God?
Morning. I just want to encourage everyone to pray for newly ordained Pastor Shane Friesen. He's going to be bringing both messages here in Winkler next Sunday. It'll be his first messages here. And just ask you pray for him, support him, and encourage him. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. I'd like to thank you all for coming and for joining in singing and in fellowship and coming to hear the word of the Lord. And my prayer is that this that the word that has been spoken would bear fruit and that it would impact us all to have a greater desire to serve the Lord with the strength and the time that we have. I'd like to leave you with the benediction found in Numbers. Let's unite. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may now go with the peace of the Lord.